praying for encouragement, and then the kids delivered. What a great blessing, eh? Now, I'm not going to, suggest that there were lions being fed there at all, but because I was watching. But what a great thing to be able to call out in front of everybody to say, thanks very much for my parents, thanks very much for my church, thanks very much for God's word. You know, amen? Let's go. Exodus chapter 9. And in just a moment, we're going to do a quick summary and see where we are up to tonight in our journey through the plagues. And before we do that, we'll just ask the Lord's blessing, shall we? Because we need it. Let's do that. Yes, Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, you know our week that's gone by. You know our day. You know the things that are on our mind. You know the things that we're struggling with. Father, you know the things that we've called out to praise you on tonight. Lord, the great thing is that you know our hearts. And we pray that you would use God's word tonight to encourage, to instruct us. Father, there's a warning tonight. Pray for hearts that need to hear that warning, that we'd be open. And Lord, responsive to your voice. And Father, God bless us as we see again your mighty power at work. May we have a heart that is seeking after you and right with you tonight. And so we ask that you would be exalted, that we would see only Jesus tonight. And we ask for that blessing now as we move into this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 9. And so far, we have our summary here. I made a comment too early, didn't I? Let's pull the Bluetooth back out again and try that again. Yeah, here we go. That'll do. Number one. Frogs, then the lice, then the flies, then the cattle disease. Wouldn't you let the people go by now? No. The boils, surely now. I found it amazing when we looked at the archaeological evidence of the boils inflicted on that generation. It was painful just looking at the x-rays of the mummies. But alas, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and we are now up to number 7 being hail and fire. Hail and fire. Exodus 9. Two parts to the passage here. First of all, we have God revealing what is going to happen. As we see often throughout the plagues, there's a clear warning. There's a repetition of God's word declared before Pharaoh and before the people. Sometimes, though, without warning. But here we have a clear warning set up by the Lord. And we see Exodus 9:13. That there's an early morning rise. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. 14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. 15, and now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. For in very deed, for this cause, have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all of the earth. And so we see here, we'll keep going with the passage in just a moment, but we see here again, it is set clearly before Pharaoh in his territory. Standing before Pharaoh as everybody else worships Pharaoh, as everybody else would not dare to stand before his presence without permission. Rise up early and go and find him, stand before him in his courts, declare, let my people go. Again, I wonder what the nation was thinking when they saw them coming early in the morning. I wonder whether the Egyptians woke each morning just waiting. Is today another day? Perhaps they could hear that common sound of the rod upon the cobblestones of Egypt, clacking along, the only thing to be heard early in the morning, and I'll know judgment is coming. Because it's been certain now, with every plague, God's word has come thundering home accurately and on time. Let my people go. It's the same command. What will Pharaoh do? It's getting personal because God declares here through his servant that the punishments that are coming are heaping up. They are getting worse. They are not just going to inflict you on the outside, Pharaoh. They are going to torment your heart. They are going to strike a terror into you that you have not known. If you think that you've been fearful thus far and maybe bolstered by the demonic powers that are around you, just reassuring, it's okay, it'll pass, it'll pass, it'll pass. Think again, because I will teach you. I will give you the knowledge that I am, that I am. I will demonstrate my power. I will start and multiply these plagues upon your heart. New plagues that will be set in motion and stir the conscience like never before. You see, Pharaoh's decisions are pounding his people. Now, we're not saying that his people are without cause either. But you see, for they still have a choice. They still have a choice regardless of the leadership and the influence in their families. And I'm going to have some applications for the young people tonight. I'm cheating, even though it's not young people night. Regardless of our circumstances around us, regardless of the circumstances with the Egyptian people, they still face their daily choices, regardless of their families. Regardless even of what they have been taught. Regardless even perhaps of what they've believed in the past about these Egyptian deities that they have almost laid down their lives for, believing that they have ultimate power. I believe that many of the people have seen this demonic power. They have felt this power. It is real. You already know many powers. Oh, but the power that is on high is not like these. The destruction that is coming will decimate Egypt and will decimate the nation. 15, we see that they will be cut off from the earth. It's difficult, I know, sometimes when we're sitting here and we're hearing the scriptures read or we're reading it at home or in our time and we see that and it's, we're so much used to, I think, seeing things in motion, right? We're used to seeing the show. It's like, I don't want to read the book. Where's the YouTube clip? It just goes for 3 minutes and it'll give me the good summary. I don't think we can get our heads around here the seriousness of the warning that was going to Pharaoh. Pharaoh, you must change now. Now is the time. You've got to turn this ship around now or there's destruction ahead. You know, in this warning that we see from God through his servant, we see God's mercy at play. He doesn't just simply judge, and he has every right to. He just doesn't simply destroy, even though it would be just. God's mercy and God's grace is real in a warning. Young people, when you receive a warning, that is mercy. Listen up. Young people, when you are warned in God's word of something in your life, don't just move on and think it doesn't apply to you. God's warning to you is his grace and his mercy. Young people, when your parents instruct you in God's word, when they pull you up on something, do not resist that instruction. That is God's mercy shown through your parents, and that is his grace measured out to you. That's the way you need to think of this. It's not just snap punishment and condemnation. And Pharaoh is standing right at the fork in the road again. I wonder whether some of his servants in the court were just thinking, if they had the opportunity to pass a whisper down the line, please, Pharaoh, can you let him go? What is wrong? But he won't. And verse 16 shows from the word of God that God is in control. And God reminds Pharaoh that even his position is appointed by the Almighty. Interesting. Have a look. Verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. For this cause, right now, you're standing here. I've got you standing down there, Pharaoh, for this moment. For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all of the earth. Verse 17, you see, God knows the heart. And yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Do you know what we see here? Absolutely, we see the influence, the absolute influence of the Egyptian worship hierarchy and those demonic deities on Pharaoh's life and those people around him. He is blinded. He is convinced that this will pass and that he will win. He's been reassured that over and over and over, perhaps in the various temples that he's been visiting, down when he's been doing his quiet time once that river cleaned up. Those voices whispering to him, those influences around him. And he hardens his heart and he is blind to the tsunami that is coming. And yet he is there at God's appointment. It's hard for us to get our heads around that God is in control of those who are in government. And that they only exist the next second because God's hand allows it. It's hard for us to understand. And the hardships are just starting. The challenges for us as Christians are just beginning. And it's difficult for us to yield and say, Lord, we know that, yes, you are in control and that you are always good and that you will bring about glory to yourself through this. Well, that's what he's told Pharaoh. You're actually part of my will here, Pharaoh. Even when you're hardening your heart and you're not letting my people go, but destruction is coming, you're exalting yourself. How big is this destruction? Verse 18, let's move on now. Let's gather a bit of speed. Behold, tomorrow, this very time, this time when the clock strikes X, early morning, it's coming. I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. This is the worst storm that you've ever seen. This is the worst storm that you're ever going to see. Send therefore now, here's the warning, verse 19, capital letters all over this verse. Warning. Send therefore now. Don't dilly-dally. Get out of here now and start preparing for this weather event that is brought on by the Almighty. Go gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field. For upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. Here's the certainty. They've come before Pharaoh. As you know, I use illustrations. We don't have any actual pictures of the event here. And so we'll use this beautiful phonograph scene for this one. And they stand before Pharaoh and they deliver the warning. And they say, go get your cattle. Go get them. Any of these beasts that are outside, they will die. Move them out. Don't leave them in the field. It's pretty clear, right? Two instructions in this verse. Go get your cattle and go get your servants. Now. Because tomorrow morning, this time, they'll be dead. That's the warning. That's the instruction. Because it's coming. Ever seen that big storm coming? I'm fascinated with those weather apps. You know, the ones where you can see the rain coming and the red bits and the yellow bits. And you look at the forecast and think, is this? And you hear the announcement, wow, it's going to happen. It's going to all fall tomorrow. And then you're looking at that radar coming and you're ringing each other saying, oh, it's just about to hit Ballarat. You know, how are we going down? And up it comes and, we're under the red bit right now. That's pretty cool now that we can see all that modern technology. The red bit's coming. It's black, actually. It's not red. It's certain. There will be lots of hail. Hail like you've never seen before. There's lightning coming. Now, I believe that fire that's mingled with the hail is lightning. And it will disperse itself and run along the earth. You don't want to be outside when the ground becomes an electric grid. You don't want to be on the top of a pyramid either. It's probably not wise to be doing building reparations work during that time. No working bees this day. And you definitely don't want to be in the field. I'll come back to this photo in a minute. This is a real one. This is not just doctored up. There is a storm coming that will cause certain death. Here's a little bit of footage from a hailstorm that we were involved with, and I won't give you the sound there because this is when Adelaide and Haley were... Wow, look at that. There's the hailstorm. Hey? we had a little bit of fun there. There are some legendary insurance claims going around as well around hailstorms. It's actually quite scary. I don't know whether I believe that one. Looks a little bit too round for me. But that's a real one. How'd you like that? Pegged at you in the middle of the playground, boys and girls. Owies. How about them falling on your head? There's no umbrella in the world that's going to stop an impact from a baseball-size hailstorm like that. And then they start getting bigger. And this is quite scary how big these things can form. You can see the crystals and little bits have melded together as the hail has fallen down. That's my scientific explanation. The biggest one on record... 8 inches, 1 pound, 15, let's get plain English. 20.3 centimetres. Students, go tomorrow and find your ruler at school and measure out 20.3. It's going to take up most of it, right? And we'll be left with around about 10 centimetres. And almost a kilogram. That's how big the biggest hailstone is measured. My understanding is, though, that during this particular storm, and I'm going to show you some footage in a minute, because the power went out, the freezer wouldn't work. And so it was actually 5 centimetres bigger. So, they can only measure these things in real time. This is 2012 in Texas. And again, I won't play you the audio here because there's lots of people talking in the background. Making comments. Look at the hail coming down. This is in Australia, 2012. Coming down, and I just love the effects here of it smashing into the pool. Probably not a delightful time to go out and test the chlorine or to be tidying it up. In just a moment, we're then going to go to a scene off the water, a scene off the side of an apartment, and you can see these giant hailstones dropping down through the sky like cannonballs. As they hit the water. Here we go, and the next one. So this is taken near the beach, and you can see the impact of the hailstones all the way up from a high rise. Again, this was in 2012, a pretty big hailstorm that came through. And after a while, well, the resolution's not quite right there, but you can actually see them starting to drop into the ocean. I was waiting for one to hit one of those boats to see what would happen, but I don't think that actually happened. This is a place, a very peaceful place in Venezuela called Lake Maracaibo. And it's the place that records the most number of lightning strikes per year, per square kilometre. 232, I don't know where they get the 0.52 from. How can you have a half lightning strike? Per square kilometre per year. And so we go from that serene scene to this. That's what the lake looks like during these lightning strikes. Why am I going through this? Combine those two. Can you imagine what it would be like? Cannon-like hailstones, constant lightning hitting the ground and running along the ground. No wonder the warning is to get your animals out of the field and your servants, because there will be certain death. I like this quote from Matthew Henry. Obstinate belief is deaf to the fairest warnings and the wisest counsels, which leaves the blood of those that perish upon their own heads. Warning from God. There's now a clear division amongst the people in Egypt. Now listen to this. Goshen, the land of Goshen, where the Jewish people are, they've got automatic protection. The storm is going to stop at the fence. It's not even going to have a bit of hail bounce over the border. Everybody in there is safe. On the other side of the fence is the danger zone. And so now the Egyptian people and Pharaoh are faced with this decision. What do I do? Please have a look again. Verse 20. He that feareth the word of the Lord amongst the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and cattle flee into the houses. Were there perhaps some servants that excused themselves up the back of the room, disappeared behind the palm leaves, ducked out the side door, quickly put a call into home, no, quickly sent a servant home? Can you get the servants and the cattle outside, inside real quick? And then there's those who feared what other people thought. Well, I've got the warning. You know what? Based on history so far, it's going to happen 100%, but I'm scared of what my neighbours will think if I bring my cattle in and my servants in, because I'm not sticking with the plan. I'm not acting like the rest of the world around me, and I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb. I'm going to be seen to be a believer in what God says. I'm really worried about that. It's going to impact my reputation. I think I'll leave my servants and cattle outside. I'll take the chance. Maybe it'll blow past quickly. Maybe I'll just lose a few. And then there's those whose hearts are hard and saying, I will not believe, regardless of the warning, regardless of what I've seen in the past, regardless of what I know about God's character, regardless of all of the failures of the Egyptian deity so far, which is, by the way, their score is zero, I will still not believe. Isn't that frustrating? Do you have any friends or family like that? That you're frustrated where you've prayed for them, where you've shared with them, and they still won't believe? Keep praying. Time's not over yet. Trumpet hasn't sounded. Continue to be faithful for them. Well, we go now into the second part of the passage, and this is where all the action happens, and we move even quicker now. People have made their choices. People have moved their servants and cattle or not. And verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all of the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field as well. See that? Throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven. He obeyed the Lord. And the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And so there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it was in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all of the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, it's comprehensive, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb in the field and brake every tree of the field. I read that and I thought the trees really didn't have a choice. 26, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. The damage was catastrophic, and it was ongoing when Pharaoh sends his summons. You see, as the word of God declared, if you were outside of the safety zone, there was certain death and there was certain impact. I wonder whether those people who made the decision to leave their beasts and their servants in the field went out in the field with their obstinate hearts. I don't think so. They probably stayed undercover, regretting their decision. But the safety zone was clear. People made their choices. Either be on that side of the fence in Goshen, or heed the word of the Lord and bring them in. A clear, safe zone. Well, before we come, and we're going to revisit that in just a moment as we close off. As you know, in each one of this series, we then look at which Egyptian deity or deities that the Almighty was targeting to show that they were naught before the Lord God. And so the first one here that we see from this particular plague of fire or lightning and hail is a conveniently one called Nut, the sky goddess. She was the goddess of death, and her image is on the inside of most of the tombs. So the Pharaoh entered her body after life, after death, and was later resurrected. So Nut is the barrier separating the forces of chaos and the ordered cosmos in this world. Her fingers and toes were believed to touch the four cardinal points or the four different directions. But despite being a protector of the dead, she was a personification of the sky, a cosmic deity, and no temples or specific cult centres are linked to her. You can see that image there separating the atmosphere there. And so that's a papyrus print. Showing us Nut, the sky goddess. Well, obviously Nut was having a day off during this day, or perhaps had absolutely no power over the sky when the Almighty gives the command. That's Nut. Here's Osiris, one that you've heard of before, a god of the earth and vegetation. So you notice all the herbs got and the trees got flattened out as well. Osiris symbolized in his death the yearly drought and his miraculous rebirth during the periodic flooding of the Nile. He was a god king who was believed to have given Egypt its civilization. And so let's keep going here. The oldest religious texts refer to Osiris as the great god of the dead, and throughout these texts it is assumed that the reader will understand that he once possessed human form and lived on earth. Didn't do too much to protect the vegetation. Osiris. I've shown you this image before, but because we're talking about Osiris, I just again want to remind you here the dark side of what's happening with these deities. So left to right, we've got Osiris, the lord of the underworld. He's the equivalent of the biblical Satan. Horus, the child there, a snake in his forehead, and Isis, his mum, sporting the horns. Nice. With the sun disk, we've covered this off before, and the snake on her forehead, Horus could indeed represent the Antichrist. And then we've got Seth, the god of storms, desert, chaos, and war. That's a pretty wide portfolio, if he was looking after all of those. So in the interests of the fact that we have children and we have general audience participation, I've taken away a lot of the details here around this particular deity. We just don't need to put that out in public. But essentially here, he was a storm god associated with strange and frightening events such as eclipses, thunderstorms and earthquakes. Can you imagine the people? As the hailstones were coming down and as the lightning was striking and running along the ground, people calling out to their deity saying, "Where are you? Keep us safe, protect us." Or are you doing this to us? Their faith was definitely not strengthened in these satanic beings. Parents, another thing I've put down there in very small pictures, because I don't want to amplify it, is the fact that quite a number of these Egyptian deities today are represented in computer games. And there is no stepping backwards in the way that they market these games. We need to stay away from them. Watch your children when it comes to multimedia. Because the devil does anything he can to slip it under the radar and get it into the home. Undeniably, these deities, by these names, are represented in these so-called action games, along with their curses to boot. Where to mark and avoid. I'll come to that one in a minute. It's clear that these deities are undone again. We've seen it. There's not many left on the charts. And it is also true today that a number of these deities are worshipped actively in temples and places that we probably would not want to think about. The Prince of Darkness, the Black Flame, etc., etc., are actively worshipped. But the great thing is that we remember tonight that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the conqueror. No matter how powerful the devil wishes to display his powers, we're on the Lord's side, amen? And so the question is tonight, as we do come to close, do we believe the word of God? Because those who left their beasts and their servants out certainly didn't, or they didn't respect it. I wonder which ones we would be. Whether we would be ignorant of God's warnings tonight. You see, fearing the word of God requires action. Do we honour what God says? Do you honour what God says tonight? When asked, do you believe what God says in his word? If the answer is yes, then the next step is that I will obey. That I will do what it says. It's so simple, isn't it? And yet often we struggle in our hearts to yield ourselves fully to what God's word would have to say. You'll take hold of when God says no. That means no, it's not up to your discretion. It's not up to abusing our liberty that we have in Christ to discern what sin is or is not. If God gives a clear no, then God forbids it. And that is the end of the matter. It's not based on culture. It is not based on timing, our circumstances, our influence, our geographics, historical context, or any other reason that the devil would love to weave in as an excuse for sin. If God forbids it, that's what it is. And to enter therein is disobedience. If God's word makes a promise, then it's cast with the power that will ensure that its commitment will never be extinguished, brethren. Regardless of culture, of timings, of influence, of geographics, of historical content, or your family. When God says that he'll never leave you, he'll never go. And when we turn our back on him, he'll stay. And even when the darkness is such that you think that you can't see him in your circumstances tonight, he's sticking with you closer than a brother. Even when his name is not mentioned, like the clear absence of God's name in the book of Esther, you can see his character. You can see his control. You know that his loving eye is on his children and his wrath is heating up for his enemies. When God said, "Let there be light," darkness lost the game. When God put space into place with his finger, the Almighty defined art and power itself. When he said, "Don't eat the fruit, it'll be bad," the punishment came for certain and it impacted all of us. When God says that he'll guide you with his eye, he's getting personal. When he promises that he'll supply all your needs according to his eternal stores, and I'm not quoting scripture, don't worry, according to his eternal stores of riches in Christ Jesus, he always delivers. You know, he'll take it from the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He'll give you the strength that you need through Christ Jesus that we are desperately seeking in time of need. No matter what that need is, there will be grace and there will be power and there will be mercy to deliver beyond what we can think. Are we waiting for it? And we will conclude and only say that he is good and that the just God that we know is worthy to be praised and that we can trust him. In other words, wow, what a mighty God we have. And so when God said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go," he was serious. When he said there was judgment coming, he was serious. He gave the clear warning. And God gives perhaps some of us a clear warning tonight as well. Morgan Freeman recently made a documentary called The Story of God with National Geographic. This is not quoted on the show, but this is what he thinks. "I'm God. My belief system doesn't support a creator as such as we can call God, who created us in his or her or its image. It's a hard question because, as I said at the start, I think we invented God. And so if I believe in God, and I do, it's because I think I'm God." Do you think that Morgan Freeman, with no doubt his wonderful documentary voice when he stands before God, will be quoting this? I think not. You see, the scriptures are clear. And regardless of man's pride, and regardless of what you think tonight, there is a clear truth. And I'm going to take a few minutes here, and I know the day has been long, and I know that it can be tiring on the end of a Sunday night. But listen to this, because perhaps there is a warning for some of you here tonight who know not the Lord as Saviour. Regardless of the fact that you've heard this before, you need to listen clearly, because like the clear message to Pharaoh, there's a clear message for you. All of us have a big problem that we need to deal with. And we have no power in ourselves to do so. You see, the wages or the punishment of sin is death. Just like leaving those animals and those servants out in the field, certainty for them was death. You see, there's a clear decision here. Do you take the wages of sin, or do you take God's gift of life eternal? Let me say this to you tonight, that if you know not Christ, if you have not come to that place where you've bowed the knee before the Creator and confessed that you are a sinner, you desperately need his salvation tonight. If you want to be wise, heed the word of the Lord tonight. Don't do what Pharaoh and his servants did and plow on. Don't fall for the trick of deciding that you have the power to change God's word. God does the weighing, and when he weighs your life, he finds you desperately short of his glory. He finds you in desperate need of a Savior. He declares that your punishment is death, but he doesn't leave you in your transgressions. Listen to this clear again. Jump for joy if you're saved tonight, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the wisdom that you need tonight. You need wisdom from on high. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Oh, please tonight, listen to the warning. Would you change your eternal destiny and allow the one who can to save your soul and wash you clean? The truth is clear, and judgment is coming. God's word is certain. Time is running out. Will you make that choice tonight? There's a clear warning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray you will continue to work in our hearts. We thank you that your warning is clear and that we can see that that is a demonstration of your grace and your mercy. We pray you would not abuse your grace tonight. And Father, if there's a soul here tonight that they would seek someone out here to pray with them, to show them from God's word how they can be saved. Lord, you know the hearts. We commit this time to you. We commit each heart's need to you. And we thank you for your willingness and your constant ministry in our lives. We pray that this week we'd be encouraged to seek your face in Jesus' name. Amen.